It is really good to see everybody this morning, and if you're checking in with us at home, we're glad to have you doing that as well. What a wonderful opportunity to come together the day after Christmas and to really celebrate Christmas a little bit further. We had two beautiful Christmas Eve candlelight worship experiences on Christmas Eve. And I hope that everybody had a wonderful day yesterday celebrating Christmas with your loved ones and your family. We're not done with Christmas quite yet, talking about Emmanuel, God with us and God being in us as believers. And today's the day after Christmas. We're going to celebrate a little bit further. You know, the whole idea of understanding of Emmanuel becoming God in us is that when we know Christmas, we know Christmas in a way that the rest of the world doesn't when we have Christ in us. But friends, this is not to exclude the rest of the world from Christmas, right? In any sense of the way. Because Jesus came for all people. He came for all people. Yes, there are many who choose not to embrace Jesus. There are many who choose to walk their way and not God's way. But it doesn't change that Jesus came for them. It's kind of like when you buy a gift for somebody that's really special, somebody you really love, and so you want to pick out the perfect gift, and you choose the perfect gift, and you choose the perfect wrapping paper to wrap the gift in, and you choose just the right card for them to put with that gift and the right bow to put on the gift. You can't wait for them to open it Christmas Day. You're sure that they're going to be as excited about it as you are, and that they're going to love it as much as you are, and that they'll love it forever. And then they open the package, and well, there's just kind of this lackluster response. You feel kind of let down, right? And then when it shows up in next year's White Elephant gift exchange, you feel all the worse. The gift of Christmas is Jesus, right? It's Jesus. And it's not just a gift for you and me. It's a gift for all people. Not all people will receive that gift, however, but the gift is the gift. And people benefit from God's great love for them, even if they snub their noses at him. Even if they don't embrace him, even if they shun God and push him away, it doesn't stop his offer to them. This morning, we're going to focus on one phrase from the Christmas story, and then we're going to talk a bit about what it means. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the verse says this, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Now, I want us to note the phrase there for this morning, for all the people, for all the people. The good news of Jesus is for all the people. God's not going to force anyone to accept the gift, but it doesn't change the gift that it's available to everyone. This means that this gift of good news is for you if you're a Buddhist or you're Jewish or you're Muslim or you're Hindu, or if you have no faith at all, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic where you think there's a God and you're just not sure who God is. Christmas is for all people. The good news of great joy is for all people. Now, not all people will receive it. And so not all people receive the full benefit of that. But it is for them, even if they're not for Christmas. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that all roads lead to heaven. They don't. In fact, only one road leads to heaven. That's the road of Jesus, period. But God's gift is for you, even if you're not for it. And of course, a gift that we don't receive or that we give away at a White Elephant gift exchange leaves us without all the benefit of that, doesn't it? I want to look at another place where this phrase for all the people shows up in the Christmas account before we start talking about what it all means. 40 days after Jesus is born, Joseph and Mary take him to take the baby to Jerusalem to be dedicated in the temple. There they meet an older priest who's named Simeon. God had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died, the coming Savior of the world. What an amazing promise that would be, right, to receive from God. I mean, can you imagine if you've lived your days serving God and then you received such a promise? You'd live each day in anticipation, wouldn't you? And that's what Simeon did. When Mary and Joseph showed up in the temple with Jesus, Simeon had no idea who they were. But when he looks at the baby, he instantly knows that this is the fulfillment of God's promise. This is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. He knows that he's looking at God in human form. And listen to what he says in Luke 2, verses 25 through 32. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." There's that phrase again, right? For all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. That's meaning that not just the Jews, but to all people. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Christmas is for all people. It's for all nations. What Jesus came to do is for all the people and all the nations. This is one of those verses that makes me really struggle when people say, well, God's already decided who's going to receive him and who's not, who's going to go to heaven and who's not going to go to heaven. Yes, God already knows who will receive this gift, but he doesn't decide for us if we'll receive it or not. It's a gift available to everyone. To everyone, the person in the corner office on Wall Street and the person in the prison cell in Alcatraz when it was still holding prisoners. And everyone in between, it's a gift available to those in America and China and Afghanistan and Iraq and in North Korea. Why is that important for us to know? Because, friends, God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have favorites. He loves all people, and he died that all could know him. What I want to do this morning is look at five things that we learn about God from this story of Christmas for us and for all people. And the first thing we learn is that God shines his goodness on all people. He shines his goodness on all people. Now, you know, a lot of people don't get this. They think that God's only good to those who are good. In other words, if you're good, then it's all good for you, right? You get the goods. But if you're bad, God's bad to you. That's a performance-driven idea that says that God only smiles on those who are a good boy or a good girl. Friends, don't be confused here with God with Santa Claus. God isn't Santa Claus. Santa Claus is the guy who's making a list and checking it twice, right? He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. You better not pout. You better not cry. He knows if you've been good or bad, so you better be good for goodness sakes. That's total performance-driven theology, and it's not true of God, and it's nowhere in the Bible. Actually, like it or not, the Bible says that God shines his goodness on everyone, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, don't look around the room to see which one is which. But he shines on all of them. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 43 through 45. He says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." God gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. And not only that, in these verses, Jesus tells us that we're to do the same thing. Jesus is making it clear that God doesn't play favorites with his grace and with his goodness. God's even good to get this to atheists. He's good to people who rebel against him, who oppose him. Do you want to get up in arms over that? Does that bother you? Well, before you do, how many times have you opposed God? How many times have you rebelled against God? Yeah, who hasn't done that at one time or another? He's good to people who ignore him their entire life. God's good to you whether you understand him or whether you don't understand him. Whether you accept him or not, or reject him or not, or even realize it or not, because God is good. And understand this, everything good in your life is a gift of a good God. It all comes from God. It all comes from God. Listen to what the Bible says about God in Psalm 145, verses 8 through 9. It says, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." Haven't you seen this and known this to be true? Because I sure have. I've seen it in family members and in friends that I have. When people I know take no time to or intent to thank God or to acknowledge him, and yet they're blessed, right? They're blessed and right and left. I get angry real fast at some of them if they ignored me and what appears to be the way that they seem to ignore God sometimes. But in his compassion, he continues to be good to them. Now, why would he do that? Why would God be good to people who blow him off? It's simple, folks, because he loves them. He loves them, and good is who God is. Good is who he is. Why does he do that to you and me? It's simple, because he loves us, and he's good. Actually, do you know what irritates me more than God being good to even the so-called bad? It's when God-loving believers have something and many things bad happen in their lives, and they right away want to blame God for it. That bothers me more, is when we want to blame God for the bad things that are happening to us. God doesn't cause bad things. People do. The world does. The Bible says that all good and perfect gifts are from our good God. It never says that bad comes from him. Justice comes from God, and sometimes we may attribute that justice as bad, but even God's justice is good. If you're going through a string of bad events, a string of bad things right now, it's not because of God. He may be allowing things for some reason in your life that you don't yet understand. But don't demand a break from God. The fact that you're breathing today is because he's so very good, and he loves you, and he showers you with blessing. Don't miss his good in the midst of the world's bad. The world teaches that you get what you deserve in life, right? If you're not getting the goods, then you're not working hard enough. You just need to buck up. You need to get it in gear. You need to try harder. You need to get and you'll get what you deserve. Do you know where that whole religion of performance model comes from? It's not Christianity. That's called Buddhism. Buddhism calls it karma. The idea is bad things happen to you because you're bad, while good things happen to you because you're good. You get what you deserve in life. You see, here's what's getting missed in this whole idea of good for good and bad for bad. When we buy into this logic, we're missing the gift giver. We're missing the gift giver. The gift giver is good. God is good, and he's all good. There's no evil, no bad, no selfishness, no meanness, none of that in him at all. Not at all. Not ever. So if God is good and there's no evil in him, how can he possibly delve out evil to us, right? He can't. It's against his very nature. And so whether you or I are good or whether we're bad, whether our neighbor's good or whether our neighbor's bad, whether a thief or a murderer is good or bad, all that God has to shower on them, all that he can shower on them is good, is good. Now understand, this doesn't erase consequences for our behaviors. There are natural consequences that we'll face in this world and in the order of this world, but those consequences come from our own evil choices and evil that's in this world. Fortunately, God doesn't work on karma, but he works on grace. Otherwise, you and I, we'd get all that we really do deserve, and if we got all that we really do deserve, it wouldn't be a very good thing. It wouldn't be very good. Do you know why all of this is really important for us to understand? Because when you're going through tough times, and I assure you that there are some tough times, the people that are going through tough times right now in this room, others who've gone through tough times in this last year or so, and more than are going to go through tough times in 2022. When we go through tough times, the secret of enduring them is not to focus on our problems, but to focus on the good things in your life that God has provided for you. Focus on the goodness of God. Okay, so we spent a lot of time on this first point. God shines goodness on all people, and we better get on to the second one. The second one for us and for all people is this, is God showers his love on all people. He shares his goodness and he showers his love on all people. To understand this, you first have to realize that God has never made a person that he doesn't love. He's never made a person he doesn't love. If God didn't love you, you wouldn't even exist. The whole reason that you're alive is because you were made by a loving God who loves you. And the Bible says that he showers his love on you every day of your life. Let's contemplate for a moment the word shower. How many of you have been to a bridal shower before? Raise your hand if you've been to a bridal. How many have been to a baby shower? Okay, I'm kind of leaving out the men, aren't I? How about this one? How many of you have ever taken a shower? Raise your hand if you've taken a shower. Now, if you're next to somebody who didn't raise their hand, you're welcome to move right now to another part of the room. We just read in Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. You know, this is one of the reasons that it's so important for us to believe we were created and we're not just some freak of happening in nature. And it's why the enemy works so hard to convince the world that we don't have a loving and compassionate creator. When it comes to a shower, you know what I hate? I hate a shower that has like this little dribble of water. Don't you hate that? If you're in a shower and there's just like this little stream of water coming out, when there's zero water pressure coming at all, that's not a shower, that's a drinking fountain. That's what that is. And here's this little stream coming out, and I'm a pretty big sized guy, so you know, even to get me all wet with a little stream is gonna be a difficult task. Don't call it a shower unless it's a shower. Well, the Bible says God showers his love on us. It doesn't say that he dribbles it on us. He doesn't say it's a little bit at a time. He doesn't say it's a small stream. It says that he showers us. Psalm 42:8 says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through it each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. He pours out, friends, pours out his unfailing love, pours it out on us, his love to us all the time. Now, let's be clear about this. God loves you unconditionally, but he doesn't approve of everything that you do, right? His love doesn't mean he approves of all that we do. Unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional approval. That's very different. Those of us who are parents, we understand this, right, on how we love our kids. I mean, of course we do. You love your kids, but do you approve of everything your kids do all of the time? No. Do you still love them even when you don't approve of what they do? Yes, of course. God loving you unconditionally doesn't mean that you can do whatever in the world you want to do and he's just going to approve of it. It doesn't mean that he's happy about every choice that you're going to make. God doesn't say, you just go ahead, you just ruin your life, you go ahead, you mess it all up, make bad decisions, do whatever you want to do, you just ignore me. No, he doesn't approve of that. He still loves you unconditionally, even when you're blowing it. And no matter what you do, you can't make God stop loving you. You can't. He loves you, and his love for you isn't based on what you do or what you don't do. It's based on who he is. It's his nature, because God is love. The third thing Christmas teaches us about God and all people is this: God shares the pain of all people. Believe me, Jesus knows suffering. He knows suffering, and he feels what you feel. He shares the pain of all people. He doesn't just shine or shower goodness on those that he loves. He shares the pain for all people. Listen, God's not some distant force like, may the force be with you, right? That's not what he is. He's not some callous being. He's not some emotionless being. He's not a far-off God. God understands your pain. He's not just aware of your pain. He enters into it. He cares about it. He cares. He shares your pain. I don't know what pain you might be in right now or what may be the cause of the pain that you're experiencing. There could be thousands of causes of pain that you're going through in your life right now. But because I know God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, I can say three things about God with your pain. First, God the Father shares your pain. He understands and shares your pain because he made and he understands you. He's the one who gave you the ability to experience pleasure and to experience pain. Believe it or not, God even understands your emotions. Why? Because you were made in God's image. The only reason you have emotions is because emotions come from God. Now, his emotions aren't uncontrolled emotions because he's perfect, but he understands emotions way better than you or I do. God, if God didn't have emotions, then you and I wouldn't have emotions. Do you know what the Bible says? It says that God laughs, that he cries, that he has sorrows, that he weeps, that he rejoices. God knows how to have a good time. When you grieve, God's grieving with you. When you grieve, he's not looking at you saying, what's that person doing? He gets it. He gets it. Psalm 33, 13 through 15 says, the Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. That's everyone, right? That's everyone. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts so he understands everything they do. Everything they do. Second, Jesus understands your pain. The Father shares it. Jesus understands it. He shares your pain because he's been there. He's suffered way beyond anything that you've ever suffered. He came to earth. He lived a full human life, and he experienced everything that we experience in human form. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus understands, friends, emotional pain. I mean, think about it. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. Because he's been abandoned. He knows what it's like to be betrayed because he's been betrayed. He knows what it's like to be lied to because he's been lied to. He knows what it's like for people to be unfaithful to him because people were unfaithful to Jesus. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood and falsely criticized and falsely accused because he's been through all of that. Jesus knows what it's like to experience the pain of loneliness because he's experienced it. He knows what it's like to be so physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally fatigued that you don't think you can put the next foot in front of the other. He understands that. Jesus also understands bigotry and prejudice and racism. He knows what it means to be an outcast and to be put down and to be misunderstood and to be discriminated against. He understands every emotional pain that you could go through. Jesus also understands physical pain. If you're in physical pain right now, God gets it because Jesus experienced excruciating pain. He's truly gone through all of the things that we go through in life, and then he died on a cross. God made you, so he shares your pain. Jesus experienced it, so he understands your pain. And third, the Holy Spirit intercedes for your pain. The Bible says that when you're in pain, the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. And that's what it says to us in Romans 8, 26 and 27. We've looked at this before, but it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And if he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. I mean, does that reassure you? Because friends, that reassures me. God prays for your pain. Get this, when you're in pain, God talks to himself about it. He cares about it. And he says that he makes groans, and the groaning over your pain, he's communicating words about what you're going through. Have you ever been so beat up, so broken down, so hurt, so heartbroken that you just don't know how to pray? And you don't even feel like you have the strength to pray? Well, the Holy Spirit has you covered. The Bible says the Holy Spirit interprets those groans to himself. He gets it and knows how you're feeling. He cares so much that he even has you covered when you feel the most powerless. This is one of the things that frustrates me when people say, you're not getting well because you don't have enough faith. I mean, the faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Don't you at least have a little faith the size of a mustard seed? Well, this verse tells us that God's working even when you're so weary that all you can do is sigh and groan. God does work through faith, but he sure isn't limited by our lack of it, right? God's not limited by my lack of faith. So when you're going through pain, you don't want to run from God. You want to run to him because he shares your pain and he understands your pain and he intercedes for your pain. Here's the fourth thing that Christmas teaches us about God's love for all people. God sacrificed his son for all people. You've heard me say before that there's no Christmas without Easter. If Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise from the dead, then his birth is just another ordinary birth. Not really to take any real note of. He did some substantial things in his life worth remembering, but many people have. But none of them alone would be enough for the whole world to stop every year and celebrate his birthday. The event that stops us in December is what happened in the spring and in Easter. That's what stops us in December, the fact that he died and rose again. God sent his son to be the savior of the world. He sacrificed his son. Remember the words of Simeon, the old prophet that we just looked at in the beginning of the message. Simeon looks at the baby and says in Luke 2, 30 and 31, he said, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. 1 Timothy 2, 6 says, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. In the Bible, the symbol of Jesus sacrificing himself is called the sacrificial lambs. Lambs, baby sheep, were harmless, right? They're harmless. They never hurt anyone. They're not predators. They're innocent. They don't do anything wrong. Jesus hadn't hurt anyone. Not anyone. He hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't deserve to die. He was sinless. He was the Son of God, yet he's killed by evil men as a sacrifice for you and me. But he did it willingly for our sin. That's why he's the Lamb of God. In fact, one day Jesus is walking down the road and John the Baptist sees him and he says this in John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you imagine what everyone around John must have thought? They knew what the Lamb of God was. They'd seen plenty of little sheepy slaughtered. But do you suppose they thought about this proclamation? This is the whole purpose of Christmas. The Lamb of God was born without spot or without blemish, was born to be slaughtered, to be sacrificed for you and me, in fact, for all people. All they would need to do is believe and receive. Believe and receive. That leads us to the last truth that we learn about God for all people, and it's this, number five. God will share his home with all who believe and receive his son, who accept the gift of Christmas. This is the amazing thing. That most of us here this morning, most of us already know. If you're coming out on December 26th, and you're in church, you probably have an idea of this. Because you care enough about God to be here on the 26th of December, right after Christmas, you guys probably already get this, but maybe you don't. We weren't just created to live 80, 90 plus years on this earth and then just die. I mean, imagine if that was it, and then it was just, it's just all over. No, you're far more valuable than that to God. God has long-range plans for you. He made you to live forever. One day your heart's going to stop pounding. It's going to stop beating, but you won't end right there. That won't be the end for you. You're going to go into eternity, and God wants you to be a part of his family. This is the biggest why about Jesus coming. This is the real purpose of Christmas. God sent his son Jesus to die for your sins so that you can be with him. He created an eternal home for those who choose to love him and to trust him. That's called heaven. And here's the beautiful thing. This is also available to anybody. Jesus came for all people, and any people who believe and receive Jesus, this home can be theirs. God's not withholding it from anyone. In fact, he's holding it out to everyone. But I could bring in a beautifully wrapped Christmas present to you today. And if you don't take it from me, I can't force you to receive it, can I? I can't force you to take that present home with you or even to unwrap it. John 1:12, a verse we look at many times, says this, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." It's all about believing and receiving. God made it so simple that anyone could understand. Here's the offer. I'm giving you my son for you, my son for you. Believe and receive, and this eternal home becomes yours. And not only that, but the rest of your life on this earth includes a relationship with God that shines his goodness on you, that showers his love on you, that shares your pain, that sacrifices his son, and that shares his home for you. How do I receive this gift of eternal life? How do I have assurance of heaven? I believe that Jesus died for my sins and I receive him into my life. I believe that Jesus was who he said he was and I receive his forgiveness. I believe that God sent his son 2021 years ago to die for me and I receive the first Christmas gift ever given, forgiveness and salvation. Who wouldn't want a gift like that? Who wouldn't want that? So friends, that's our simple wrap-up of our Christmas message series this Christmas season. Before we go to the new year, Emmanuel, God with us, becomes God in us as Jesus comes to all. But not only did he come for all, he came for you. He came for you. He is the gift. And he's before you today. If you've never believed and if you've never received, how about opening that gift this morning? Let's pray together. God, even in the midst of a busy couple of days, and most of us were here Christmas Eve too, and those who've been there this month, we've been hearing all about the Christmas story and Jesus coming and why he came. Even in the midst of all that, maybe there's some of us yet who've not believed and received the gift for ourselves. Maybe there's some watching at home today, or maybe you're watching later in the week and you're seeing this and you're like, I've never really believed and received. And that part's simple. You just say, here I am, God. I believe Jesus is your son and that he died for me. I believe that the gift of Christmas isn't held on Christmas, but it's held at Easter at the death and resurrection. That Jesus died and rose again so that I can have an eternal home with you and my sins can be forgiven. He died for me. Believe that and receive it. Come into my heart, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. I am receiving you to live with you from this day forward into eternity. I commit my life to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friends, if you've If you may have been in church your whole life and never really invited Jesus in, but if you've done that today, there's a celebration going on all over heaven. There's a celebration in this room, and just know that your life is going to be new. But you want to take the next step. You want to get involved where you can get to know him. Connect to a life group. Contact us in the office so we can help you connect somewhere. If you've just come to Jesus maybe for the first time, even if you're watching, maybe you don't even live in this area, we're happy to help you connect wherever area you're in, because this is about forever. This isn't a moment decision. We come to Christ now and it's just all done. I'm covered. This means forever my life's going to be different, and you got to start to find out what that looks like. So I encourage you to do that. We're going to end this morning, since we had the whole two worship experiences together today. You know, we're hoping bringing some of those folks together from both of our worship experiences to do communion as a family. And if you would take the cup, if you've gotten that, we're going to remember the real gift of Christmas. If you'd peel back the clear part to get to the bread. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus came on Christmas to die for you in Easter and to rise again. So his body is broken for you. Every time you take it and eat it, remember what he's done for you. Take it and eat. Beloved sisters and brothers in Christ, if you'll pull back the foil to receive the blood that's been shed for you. And Jesus said, every time you take and drink, remember this gift. Remember what I've done for you. Take and drink and remember. Thank you, God, for dying for us. Thank you for defeating death and hell. Thank you that we can have assurance and security in our hearts of you coming for us, Jesus, and us receiving you as a gift. Thank you for walking with us in life forever. Thank you for showering your love and grace on all people, that all may know that you save. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're grateful for that. I pray that you have a wonderful day today. Christmas isn't done. Celebrate your families. Remember Jesus coming for you, and have a great day, and we'll usher in the new year next week. God bless you all. Love you. See you then. Bye.